You ready for your lives to be changed?
Absolutely.
I believe that. Got your Bibles, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 20. So get your device out, get your Bibles out, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. This Living Free series has been absolutely wonderful because in week one of this series, we understood that we're engaged in spiritual warfare. There's a war going on out there. Then we saw the first step into fighting spiritual warfare is confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we talked about that, how fittingly on Easter when we said, listen, we must confess Christ and believe what he did for us on the cross. And of course, that he's resurrected. We talked about that on Easter. We talked about another step is we must submit and die to oneself in order to fight in this war. And we said that this is truly what it means to passionately follow Christ. We said another step was, listen, we must realize that we can't do this apart, but we must passionately follow Christ together. And today we're going to kind of look back over all of this, just like we started and talked about spiritual warfare. We're going to conclude today and talk about spiritual warfare. We're going to see some of the same things, and we're going to see some different things today, all in regards to spiritual warfare. Now let me say this. This may be the most important sermon I've given you since I've been here at Bethany. Okay? I need you to listen because this matters. It matters a lot for you to realize what's going on in this world, what's happening behind the scenes, and what's happening right in front of your eyes. Here's a key statement for you. We are engaged daily in spiritual warfare. And the only way to fight and to win is in Jesus. Let me say this. This sermon is equally applicable to all persons. Everybody sitting in this room, it's equally applicable. But hear this, men. I am calling you out today to man up and to be spiritual leaders and warriors. You know that scene in Gladiator, early in the movie? Russell Crowe gets on his white horse, and he's riding down through the ranks of the men. And you can see that they're tired, and they've been fighting, and they're kind of ready to be through with the fighting. But then they see Russell Crowe riding on that horse, down those lines and down those ranks, and every time, every person that saw him, they stood up. Their chests got bold and their chins got up, and they were ready to go to war because they saw their leader who had been through war, who was a conqueror, and they were ready to fight. I'm telling you, Jesus is on the horse and he's riding in front of you today. Men, step up. It's time to fight. Man, woo! We're not even started yet. Men and women, we may be but a small candle burning only so long, but while we burn, may it be with a light and the heat of 10,000 suns before we're done. Live this life for God. With that, let us read Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith, with which you were able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert and always persevere in the supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. God, here is your word. Lord, let it wreck us today. Let it break us today. And let it build us back up in your strength, God. May we go out of here on fire, Lord. And as an older generation used to say, let it be a catching God when we come in contact with others. And we give you the praise, Jesus. Amen. So as we look at this text, look at verse 10. It says this, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. We can only win daily in this war when we are fighting in the power of Jesus Christ. Now look at it again, verse 10. Finally be strong in the Lord. I want to talk about this idea of being in the Lord. Because we cannot forget this. We can't move past this. We must be in the Lord if we are to fight spiritually. So we first must believe in the Lord to be able to fight in the Lord. Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and then in the Greek it's Kai, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he got up from the dead? Is there any doubt? Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, then nothing can stop you. What are they going to do? Kill you? Okay, we're with Jesus. But we must also count the cost. Count the cost when we talk about being in the Lord. Jesus speaks of this in Luke 14, verse 28. But then again, I think we find in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, something that we can apply to our life daily as we look at this. This is Jesus saying, then he said to them all, in other words, if you want to do the Jesus thing, if you want to be his follower, this is what you must do. If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Go to war. And it starts with a war within yourself. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. And so we must be in Jesus Christ. Is that who you are? Do you believe these things? Are you willing and have you been willing to submit your life to Christ? If so, then you're in the Lord. You're in the Lord. But it says also that we must daily let him live through us in the strength of his power. There is no neutral. You are either winning the war or you are losing the war. We must ask for Christ to live in us, live through us. We must be in his strength, not ours, and in his power. Galatians 2:20 says this. Oh, and it's so good. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, that I must die. Remember that? We'll be coming back to that later. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh, And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is Jesus living through us. Philippians 1:21, for to me, living is Christ. John 17:18, as you sent me into the world, this is Jesus talking, so I've sent them into the world. We are to be sent as Jesus. Jesus is to live through us. Do you remember the old WWJD bracelets? Right? Kind of hokey, but man, those things were popular, weren't they? These things must have been popular when I was in high school or college. Because I remember a college professor saying, yeah, I get it. It's good to think about. It was based off the Sheldon Hughes who wrote the book, What Would Jesus Do? But my professor said it actually should be WWJHMD. What would Jesus have me do in every situation? For Christ came for a unique purpose, and he has a unique purpose for us. So in every situation, what would Jesus have me do? Would probably be more correct. Are you asking yourself those things? Imagine, if you will, a car. And here we are as toddlers in the driver's seat, Christ in the passenger seat, and the Holy Spirit is the gas. We're trying to drive this car if we're not leaving in Christ, right? If we're in control, we're trying to drive. We can't reach the gas pedals. We can't reach the gear shift. We can barely even see over the steering wheel. But what we need to do is say, Jesus, you get in the driver's seat. Let me get in the passenger seat. And let me tell you, when Jesus gets in the driver's seat, he is going to mash the gas and we're going to go on an adventure. It will be better than any Dukes of Hazzard episode you have ever seen in your life. There's only people like Dukes of Hazzard. Bowen looked deep, man. Uncle Jesse, right? Good stuff. Good stuff. Listen. We must submit. We must be in the Lord and have the Lord's strength work through us if we are to be victors and conquerors for Jesus Christ. And we must also recognize, as we look at verses 11 and 12, we must also recognize that spiritual warfare is not just multidimensional, but it's multifaceted. It's not just multidimensional, but it's multifaceted. It is war on various fronts, many fronts. Look at verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God. I want to tell you, when I first wrote this sermon, I was going to pick and choose the armor pieces because I was like, oh my goodness, this sermon's going to get long. But as I was reading and praying, I would not send you into war without talking about all the armor pieces. I would not send you to the war without having it all on. So why would I not cover it in a sermon? So we'll do what we do to the glory of God. But the whole armor. Take the whole armor. Don't let one item of the thing, not one dynamic that we're going to talk about, not be true of you. Don't go in without your weapons and without your armor to spiritual warfare. So put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic power of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is so interesting because Paul even kind of starts the book of Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians, talking like this. Just flip over, turn over if you will, really quickly to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul writes this: you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived. Now, this is interesting because we're going to come back to this. Following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient, all of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and our senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. Now, I want you to pay special attention. We're talking about all these principalities, powers, and all of that, but there's a connection there between the course of this world, the things of the world, and also this ruler of the power of the air. Now, the word there for wiles is where we get the word for method from. It's schemes, it's strategies, it's the way that Satan works. He's very organized and calculating. And Satan has developed an army of his own. You may be familiar with the Screwtape Letters and C.S. Lewis with Uncle Screwtape and Wormwood, and you may be familiar with that fictional work that has such a real reality. I would like to say great job to Cooley Christian Church, who put on a play here recently. And whoever wrote it was brilliant in how he looked at C.S. Lewis's life, particularly his young life, and worked into it the Screwtape Letters so that you could see the spiritual warfare for C.S. Lewis's life. I really enjoyed that. It was a powerful play. And it speaks to the spiritual warfare going on in regards to everyone's life and future eternity. Think about Daniel chapter 10 when he prayed. Remember, we were in Daniel chapter 10 not that long ago in our Daniel series, our exile series. And where he prayed, but there's a spiritual warfare as God was sending a messenger angel to speak to him. But yet there was spiritual warfare in prayer that had to happen first. It's multidimensional. It's multi-layered. There's so many wars going on many fronts. So many campaigns. But now hear this. Hear this. If you start thinking that, well, this is so ethereal that I can't understand it or I can't see its manifestation, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Look at verse 2 again. Following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air. Those things that are against Christ in this world are following after Satan, whether they realize or not, and his longing and his bidding. There's a real war going on. It is manifested against those things that stand against Jesus Christ and his morals and his ethics. Do not tell me you cannot see this warfare, for it is all around you. The Bible speaks of these things. 1 John 2:15 through 16, warning us about the course of the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world. For all that is in the world, talking about that world system that follows after Satan, follows after the spirit of the air. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride and riches come not from the Father, but from the world. Christian, here's what you are to do. Matthew 6:33. Rather, we must strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And basically the rest of that sentence says, and God will take care of everything else. Are you in the Lord? Are you being strong against him? Are you ready to fight against Satan in the spiritual world? And even to stand against those things that would be against Jesus and his church and the church's teaching from the Word of God. You guys with me? Okay. This word stand. Illustrations only go so far. And some Christians, they're just so doggone passive. And some of them will even use these texts to be passive. I want you to kind of watch some things that are happening here, okay? The word stand used in a military sense here has the idea of holding a critical position under attack. There's a spiritual war going on. So the church, Jesus Christ in this world, has won territory. And we are to stand in his strength and power and to defend that territory. But here's what I see all the time. Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, we don't want to be ugly. No, we're not going to. And we recede ground and recede ground and recede ground and recede ground. And I'm not talking about being ugly. I'm just saying we're not standing. We must stand on the Word of God and on His truth. To aggressively stand, because watch this now. Watch this. James 4:7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee for you. Now watch how this works, and we're going to talk more about it in just a minute, but watch how this works. You submit yourself therefore to God. In other words, you die to self, you let God live through you. You are submitting yourself to God. You stand, you resist the devil, you resist the devil. That means you are standing with the whole armor of God, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment, and he will flee from you. So here's what's going to happen. You're going to stand against Satan. You're going to submit yourself to God. And as you stand and you defend this ground, Satan will flee. And guess what happens when he flees? We take more ground. There's an offensive mindset to this beyond just the Word of God, which we'll get to in a minute. But it's not just that we just stand here and recede. No, we keep the ground. And as he flees, when we keep the ground, we move forward. Matthew 6 and 18. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do you see the offense in that statement? We are to stand. And when we stand, when we submit to God, devil flees. We win more ground in the name of Jesus, and we keep moving forward. And listen, there are the gates of hell, and we're going to burn them down. Like I'm on fire today. We are not to be passive. We're not to be jerks, but we are not to be passive in this world. So now we've got that straight. Let's talk about the armor. You with me? You ready to hear about that? Let's do it. So 14 through 18, I'm going to read it and then I'm going to unpack it. So stand therefore aggressively, protect the ground that God has given us, those things that he's entrusted us to, and let us move forward. Fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness as shoes for your feet. Put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. And with all of these, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and with supplication. And to that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. So let's talk about the belt of truth. The belt of truth. That's which holds everything in place, right? So Romans have the tunic, right? Low flowing. Most people in the world that time had some type of tunic or robe that they wore. And so Roman soldiers would take that leather strap, that belt, or whatever it was made of. And what they would do when it was time for war, they would take all those loose ends and they would tuck it into that belt. It would make them true and authentic. They were ready to go to war then. They couldn't fight when everything was hanging loose and loose ends. They had to pull it up into the belt, pull it tight to the body so that nothing would interfere with their movement. Now, this idea of truth, of course, stems from the Word of God, and we're going to talk about the Word of God in just a moment. But it has the idea also of truthfulness and authenticity to the Word of God and to the character of the person there. Here's how I like to look at this, and I found this quite fascinating. Have you allowed God all the loose ends of your life? Have you taken all the loose ends of your tunic? Have you taken all the loose ends of your life and pulled them underneath the truth of the Word of God and tucked them in tight and made sure that every piece of your life, good or bad, is under the authenticity of the Word of God so that you could be a true person of Christ and ready to go to spiritual warfare? Is there something in your life that you've not given Him control of? It could actually be a good thing. Like, there could be good things you're doing, but you haven't let the Word of God set on that. You haven't prayed about that. To make sure that's what you should be doing. Is every aspect, every area, every dynamic of your life fallen under the Word of God so that you can truly be authentic in Christ and living for Him? You ever thought about it that way? Is there some area of your life that you have not allowed the Word of God to shine its light on and to deal with that? We must allow that to happen to be ready to fight. Very similar to this is the breastplate of righteousness. For this would protect your inner organs. It could be leather with bones sewn into it, metal pieces, different things, or it could actually be a beaten out a piece of metal that would protect the inner organs of the warrior. So very necessary, because listen, if you get struck there, you would die. It's this breastplate of righteousness. Now, of course, there is imputed righteousness that Christ gives us, but I believe that this speaks of our righteousness. A few weeks ago, we talked about giving our bodies as instruments of righteousness to Jesus Christ daily, submitting to Him and saying, God, use me. Let me ask you, has Christ seen every aspect, dynamic of your life with the belt of truth, right? Has He seen that? Are you allowing Him to influence that? But with this breastplate of righteousness, is there a pet sin? Is there something in your life that you're not giving up for Christ? Because here's the thing, people. If you don't eventually get serious with that sin, it's going to create a chink, a fissure in your armor. Okay? And I don't think it will kill you for where I stand with salvation, but let me tell you what it will do. It will kill your witness and your testimony. You keep messing around with that. You keep messing around with your righteousness and not paying attention to that and submitting that to Christ, eventually it will kill your testimony. Is there something in your life that if people knew about it, it might harm your testimony and your witness? Deal with that. Deal with that, for it is your breastplate of righteousness. Don't let it kill your witness. Guys, again, both with a belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, this is what it means to passionately follow Christ together, because you are serious about following Him. You are serious about being a soldier under Jesus Christ. Shield of faith. And I'm saving the gospel feet for last. I'm going to come back to that. Shield of faith. So the Romans would have these long shields that would be treated with a special type of oil, that when a flaming arrow would be shot at them, it would hit that shield and the shield would not burn, and the arrow would eventually go out. These shields were very popular. They could be as long as 5 or even 6 feet tall. They were very powerful. And Paul equates them to our faith. We need to move forward in faith and believing in God. And it's a shield. And when Satan tries to lie to us about ourselves or about what we're doing or whatever it is, we extinguish that and say, no, I have faith. For example, I love to look at Hebrews chapter 11 and the hall of faith. and see those brave men and women, warriors of God, who fought forward in faith and did great things for Him. We must have faith. But here's what I want you to think about that's so cool about this shield of faith. And remember that He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church at this time. Those shields were never more powerful than when the Roman soldiers came together in the famous Roman phalanx. I think we have a little bit of a slide here, a picture of this. So they would put these shields together, and so arrows would come flying in and they would bounce off in these shields. Other warriors would approach them and try to ram them, but it wasn't just that they had the faith of one shield. If you were one person standing here in faith, but rather they had the faith and the power of 10 men all standing together. Imagine this. You have great faith, but you have the faith of one. But when you're in a grow group and when you're in the church body, when you're doing things together, you don't have the faith of one. You have the faith of 10 men or 20 men and women, however many is in your group, however many is encouraging you. Perhaps you even have the faith of hundreds or even thousands of men and women when you stand together in a spiritual phalanx. You want none to fall? Stand together with faith. It's a powerful truth. You remember those gates of hell? This is really good too. When these Romans would attack walls, they would also have a battering ram in the midst of them. And they could approach that wall and they'd be throwing stuff, shooting arrows on them, all of this, and they would have the defense of faith come to the wall and take that battering ram and begin to knock down those gates, to knock down those walls. Together in faith, we move forward and we break down the gates of hell. Christians are not passive. Christians are not passive. We need to together to shake, to take the shield of faith. And then there's the helmet of salvation. We need to be confident in our salvation as we move forward in Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 38 through 39 talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God. Listen, if you realize, just as we talked before, that if the worst thing they can do is kill you, that's just fine because we're with Jesus. Because God has you. God has you. You can be fearless with faith and the helmet of salvation. How good is that? How good is that? The helmet of salvation. And then, of course, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We see Jesus in the wilderness. Satan would speak. He would block it. Parry and strike back with the Word of God correctly used, correctly interpreted. Are you memorizing and internalizing Scripture? But see, this is what's interesting to me as well. If you look over at verse, let's take 17 and 18, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then in verse 18, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. You see, I think that sword is something that we quote, something that we memorize. It's also something that we pray. Do you know I pray the Lord's Prayer pretty much every day? Because it's pretty much the perfect prayer. Jesus taught it to us. And if you expound upon that prayer, use it as an outline, man, you cover everything. Are you praying against the enemy? Are you praying for others? Are you taking your sword and engaging in warfare? Don't just run out there with a shield and a helmet and a breastplate and a belt of truth. Run out there with a sword and be prepared to fight. Have it in here. Have it here. And pray it. I'll say this. If you're not praying, you're not fighting. How many of you have been sitting on the sidelines? If you're not praying, you're not fighting, how many of you have been sitting on the sidelines? This is where the war begins, in prayer. I mentioned on a podcast, it was a pretty fun podcast we had this last week, but I said one thing that I have to give to my more charismatic brothers and sisters is, boy, they pray on everything. They pray on everything. I respect where the heart is behind that. I really do. Are we in the warfare? So we must be in Christ, submitting ourselves to Him, instruments of righteousness, belt of truth, all of our armor, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. But I want to go back to those feet. That gospel readiness, doing whatever it takes to be ready to give the gospel. Because there's an aim. There's an aim in this army to see people saved. Listen at Paul in verses 19 through 20 in recognizing what he said about the gospel of peace. Pray also for me so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness, the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Are we sharing our faith? I was talking with someone recently that I may need to do an elective class in the summer where we talk about different ways of evangelizing. I mean, there's evangelism explosion, there's share Jesus without fear, there's servant evangelism, there's friendship evangelism. There's all kinds of types of evangelism. Shoot, just pick one and do it. Okay? In fact, you may not realize this, but I think you already are. And it's called Each One, Reach One, 21. Think about it. I told you to intercede and pray. I told you to invest in the life of others, to serve them, to love them, to know them. Then to invite them to church or to Jesus Christ, and hopefully in doing so, intercepting them from hell. Guys, that is spiritual warfare. We don't do Each One, Reach One, 21 because it's cute. That's spiritual warfare. There's no option but to fight, to pray, to invest, to tell. Are you engaged in spiritual warfare? I hope that you are. For we are engaged daily in a spiritual warfare, and the only way to fight and win is with Jesus. We've talked about what it meant to be passionately following Christ, what it means to be passionately following Christ together. We've talked about all the armaments that we need to go into this warfare. And I hope that you're ready to fight. I hope that you're ready to fight when you leave here. In fact, I hope that you're ready to fight as you are right here. And if you need someone to stand with you in faith, Tammy and I will be in the back and we'll pray with you. It would be our honor and our privilege to step together with you. If you're online and you've got spiritual warfare going on as well, I would invite you to text us so that we can pray for you as well. We want to be with you in this war. But I'm going to do something just a tad bit unusual. Again, conversation had this week. If for some reason during the next song you feel led to pray, but you don't necessarily feel led to pray with someone, I want you to know that this front of the stage is open for you to come and take a knee and pray, for you to come and stand and pray. Because we need prayer and our worship. And I just want to invite you to not be ashamed and just come forward and say, I'm praying, I'm fighting, I've got war. Or I'm praying on behalf of someone else. And I just feel led to today. No one's going to judge you. No one's going to judge you. And I also want you to pray with me right now before we start this next song. And I know we don't often do this, but there's a family in our church, the Gerstenbergers. And they've got a grandson, Max, who's struggling right now with some medical issues. And I think as we talk about spiritual warfare, it would be fitting as we close right now to pray for Max and pray for that family. And then the Holy Spirit will do business with us in worship. You just be fearless warriors in it. Let's pray. Father, I want to pray for baby Max. God, he's going through some challenging times, and I know his family's hurting. Procedures are happening, all of these things. It's hard. It's hard when it's our babies. And Father, they're one of us. And right now, Jesus, there's hundreds of people in this room right now that ask in the name of Jesus for you to intervene supernaturally and help Max. Help those doctors, those nurses care for him. Give them wisdom, Lord Jesus, as they move to help him. And God, you do something amazing that would cause glory to be to your name, that would make someone stand back and say, God worked in this. And Father, while the Gerstenbergers are in the fight, Lord, where they're holding up the shield of faith, let us come around them right now in prayer, God, and support them. Satan is telling them lies, God. Their soul can be beaten down, Lord Jesus. Let us stand together in prayer and from the bottom of our hearts meet it and not be asleep, Father God, but let us pray for Max. Hear the prayers of your people, and we humbly trust you to act according to your goodwill, Father.